Please join with me in the responsive reading of select verses of Psalm 85 as you find in your service folder. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be, forever. Amen. Our scripture reading for today is recorded in Isaiah's 40th chapter, the first two verses. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Understanding the difference between what you want and what you need is absolutely crucial in life. I'm sure your parents tried to drill that into your head as you were growing up. Someday as a parent, you will try to teach that to your child, to understand things that you really need and distinguishing that from the things that you just want. And probably as you made it into college and the more you start to depend on your own financial resources, you start to make that distinction very clearly on your own as well. When it comes to what we need spiritually and what we need from God, the only one that is truly capable of completely understanding and discerning that for us is God himself. He is the one that knows the end game of life, and he's the one that knows what eternity is like. He knows what the court of his divine justice is like. He understands our future. He understands who we are. He's the one that made us. And so when it comes to anyone determining what we need and truly need, it is God alone that has that perspective. And when God looks down at you and me, he looks down inside of us and he realizes that our greatest need is not something for our stomachs. Our greatest need is not something for our wallets. It's not just for our brains. But the greatest, in a sense, organ in man is his heart, our souls. God looks deep down inside of us and sees that the need that we have for forgiveness, the need that we have for reassurance, the need that we have for a relationship with him that is one of peace, that this is the most important thing that we need. Even though we might analyze ourselves and our own lives and think that it's all this other stuff that we have to have, all of these other, quote, needs that we think we have, from an eternal, heavenly, divine perspective, God is the one alone who can give us this proper analysis. When it comes to earthly things that can make us feel better, when it comes to earthly things that can provide us with some assurance or comfort, a lot of those things, in fact, all of those things that come from earthly sources that deal with trying to comfort us and reassure us, they're always weak, they're always lacking, they always have the tendency to leave us a little bit empty. My mom used to try to give me reassurance and comfort before I would go to the dentist office for my appointment when I was a child, to comfort me with the fact that it wasn't going to hurt. But she wasn't always right. Our medical profession today tries to comfort us and give us reassurance about our health and our health care. And yet we still have in front of us the great fears of what's going to happen to us and to our bodies and so on. And many of their projections and ideas still fail us. The experts who study our economy try to give us reassurance and comfort that things are going to be okay. And yet we know that They don't control and foresee everything. There are many different things that can happen to the economy. Likewise, our government tries to comfort us and reassure us about our safety. And yet, there are many things that can take place that are beyond their control. And so, attempts to comfort us regarding things of this life from human sources will always be lacking, will always be weak, and always have failure to them. But when it comes to God, and when He sees our most important needs, and when it comes to addressing those needs, God provides divine, perfect comfort and reassurance. And this concept of comforting us is what Isaiah is speaking about in our text, and is what God wishes and desires to have those who proclaim His word to bring and deliver to His people. You might say we have here the marching orders for the public ministry. Comfort, yes, comfort my people. He lets us look into the deepest recesses of His heart, His deepest emotions for us, for you and me, and what He wants for us. And He wants to make sure that those who go and speak on His behalf faithfully proclaim what's going on in His heart about them. Comfort them. Bring them my comfort. There are so many neat things just in these two verses from the Hebrew. Just a couple things to pull out. One is this concept, the word that's translated to speak tenderly. It's the idea of the way a mom would try to comfort and reassure a little child. It's the most intimate, gentle way of speaking to someone. God wants His preachers to speak tenderly to the hearts of His faithful. Likewise, in the Hebrew, you get a sense of urgency and intensity about this. In other words, as if God is saying to the preachers of His word, this is the most important thing. Make sure you get this. Make sure you convey these thoughts to the people. Comfort. Comfort them. Even now as Christians, knowing the comfort we have in the gospel, we can still be filled at times with fear. We can still have anxiety about the future. We can still have anxiety about judgment day and what's going to happen to us in eternity and what does God think of us and so on. And so the Lord makes sure in this text to underline the gospel, double. Tell her that the warfare is ended. If you still think there's some problem between you and God, you're just fooling yourself. It's over. Christ has taken care of it all. It all was done with on the cross. In fact, you have received from the Lord's hand double for all your sins. Don't miss that. God wants you to be so reassured that He underlines it by verbal inspiration through the Holy Spirit. And this is all supposed to just go out to us free. It all comes to us freely through the message of the gospel. This is the primary focus of the public ministry that God has established and set up in this world. Just take a look at the means of grace, for instance. Think of all of the ways, all of the possible things that God could have selected to try to convey to you what's going on in His mind and heart. All of the things that He could have had the ministry use to convey harshness and sternness and judgment. But that's not what God has set up. He gives us the cooling, refreshing waters of baptism poured on a little baby's head. He gives us the sweet tasting body and blood of Christ along with the bread and wine in communion for the forgiveness of our sins. He gives us that gentle absolution spoken by the pastor. When I was a little boy, I used to love when I finally got to go up in our church after I'd been confirmed to receive that proclamation of absolution. The pastor would put his hand on our head and say, the gracious forgiveness of all of your sins, and speak of that so tenderly. This is what God has established to bring comfort to His people. And so in this Christmas season, God commands His preachers to take you through His word, to take you by the hand, and to lead you down the dusty streets of Bethlehem, down the back alley, into this little, humble, lowly barn, and brings you down through the animals next to that little manger and has you kneel down and has you look into that crib and see there what He thinks of you. Comfort. Amen. Let us rise and join in singing one of the great Christmas hymns, Angels We Have Heard on High.